Welcome to the Unpacking It podcast, where we unpack sports, faith, and life with intriguing guests from the sports and entertainment world. This is our interview show, and today's guest is former NFL wide receiver, went to 6 Super Bowls, Don Beebe. He's awesome. He's been on the show multiple times, and we are psyched to have him back on today. Be sure to check out our weekly devotional podcast as well, that is in the same feed wherever you're listening or watching. So be sure to check that out. We release that on Tuesdays. And then also, we have a new one-minute podcast. It is called the Unpacking It Minute, and you can find that on Spotify or Apple or iHeart, anywhere you listen to audio podcasts. Monday through Friday, it's a quick one-minute encouragement. So check out that new podcast just released this week. We are psyched to be with you on today's show as we announce a new partner, a new sponsor here on the podcast. And I have known them for a long time, and here we are teaming up together. It's Upward Sports. So we welcome Upward to the family, the community of sports fans following Jesus, and glad to team up with them. So Upward Sports, they equip churches to run self-sustaining sports ministries in their communities. So whether you're a sports fanatic or you're on staff at a church, Upward Sports gives you all the tools you need to run a first-class sports ministry that allows you to reach families in your community. And so Upward Sports offers basketball, soccer, flag football, cheerleading, volleyball, baseball, and softball through league and camp offerings. So learn more at upward.org/unpack. Upward.org/unpack. So we're excited to have them. We've got more to share with you in the coming weeks and months in regards to Upward, but excited to announce that today. We also want to continue to mention an upcoming event that we're partnering with High Country Caregivers. And so it's coming up. It's soon, May 19th and 20th. It's the third annual Coaches Invitational. It's a golf tournament taking place at Elk River Golf Course just outside of Boone, North Carolina. So if you're in the area, check out the details. The link is in the show notes, and encourage you to consider putting together a foursome and supporting this great event. High Country Caregivers, they are dedicated to relatives, respite, and resources for kinship caregivers. And so awesome organization, and Coach Jerry Moore is on the board and really spearheading from a standpoint of bringing his friends and other celebrity coaches and former players and current athletes to be a part of this great event. And so I'm looking forward to being there and meeting a lot of these guys in a couple of weeks, and would love to meet you and see you there as well. But today, let me tell you about Don Beebe. So Don Beebe, he's one of the fastest players in league history, and he was the first person to play for 6 Super Bowl teams. So throughout his 9-year career as a wide receiver, he played for the Buffalo Bills when they went to 4 Super Bowls. And then he went to 2 Super Bowls with the Green Bay Packers as they won one of them. He also played for the Panthers, which he'll talk about today. He is currently the head football coach at Aurora University. It's a Division III college and an institution in Aurora, Illinois. They were the NACC conference champs in 2019, 20, 21, 22, 23. So very impressive. And he has a new devotional book, which we're going to talk a lot about. It's called Never Give Up, and came out a couple of weeks ago. And you can find out all about that on donbeebe.com. But it features 12 impactful stories from his career and how it relates to scripture and is an encouragement to the readers. So I'm gonna get a copy myself. I'm excited about that. But right now, let's jump right in to our conversation with Don Beebe. And joining us now is Don Beebe. We're thrilled to have him back on Unpacking It. Don, it's so great to see you. How are you today?
I'm doing great. It's always good being on this show, Bryce.
Well, man, we're excited to have you. And we want to talk all about your new devotional book today. We're going to talk about the movie that now has at least begun the process on your life. And so we'll have some fun there. Let's start with a little football and with your strong connection with the Buffalo Bills. They're one of the more interesting teams this offseason and kind of in recent years. And I'm just curious your thoughts kind of on the state of the Bills at this point in the offseason.
Well, you know, I used to say this, as long as we had number 12 standing, Jim Kelly, we had a shot. I would say that as well with the Bills, with Josh Allen. He is a unique quarterback. I think he's one of two guys that brings both a big arm and great legs in running from the quarterback position, Lamar being the other one. So I think as long as they keep him healthy, they'll have a chance to make a run at it. No question about it.
And as a former wide receiver, curious your thoughts on the Stephon Diggs trade.
You know what? Hey, listen, I'm, you know, being a college coach now and recruiting, and I, you know, I don't personally know Stephon at all. I just see what goes on and what everybody else sees, really. I'm looking for high character team guys. And that's what wins at any level, peewee all the way up to professionally. It takes a certain chemistry, and I just don't think they had that with Stephon. This new kid coming in, though, that they drafted in the second round, Keon Coleman, I think his name is. I've heard a lot of great things about him so far. So he was a smart kid. He reached out to Andre Reed. I think it's always a humble thing when somebody likes that reaches out to a Hall of Fame person on that played years ago. That's just pretty smart kid. I don't think Stephon ever did that.
So, there you go.
Yeah. Anyway,
that makes a difference. Absolutely. That's good. Well, all right. So you mentioned being a head coach and you've been at Aurora for a number of years now. And so throughout that time, man, college football has changed. And so it's especially changed, you know, on the FBS level. And so I'm curious how the NIL and the transfer portal, how has that trickled down to Aurora and Division III football?
Well, it has. I really firmly believe this, that you build a program and a culture where players don't want to leave. And then part of that is just really loving them and caring a lot about them. I think a lot of coaches do that, or at least try to do that. And if the player feels that, now, in saying that, when you build that culture, chances of them leaving are far less. And the ones that do leave for money or anything like that, to be honest with you, don't take this wrong, are probably the ones you don't want anyway. here's how it's affected us. It really hasn't. We've lost two, okay, in the years that this has been going on. We even had last year our star defensive tackle, who's going to be a senior, came into my office and said, "Hey, coach, I'm thinking about doing the portal." It was shocking at first, but that's okay. He just wanted to play in a real big stadium. That was his kind of a dream before it was all said and done. And he has a chance to go to the next level. I mean, he's that good. Mm. I looked at him. I said, if you can get an FBS school that's going to give you a full ride scholarship and promise you you're going to play, I said, I'll help you pack. And and I said, but if you know, other than that, what would be the reason to do that, you know, especially off the reason he gave me, want to play in a big stadium. So he had three FCS offers, full ride scholarships to FCS schools. I won't say who they are. And he turned them down. He stayed and he's paying to play. So I think when you build that kind of rapport with players and the love that you really, really care about the guy, they feel that. They know it. And it's almost become like a family, because it should be. And that's what we had in Buffalo. I'll tell you, that's what we had in Buffalo. We had it in Green Bay too. When you have that, it's really hard to leave.
Wow. And I'll ask kind of a similar question as far as what you love about Division III football and you wanting to stay. Because I imagine you've had other opportunities or could pursue different things, but you've remained as the head coach at Aurora.
Yeah. And it was, I think it was one of the devotionals I wrote about. I had an opportunity with Coach Levy when he went back to be the general manager of the Buffalo Bills in 2006. He called me, I want to say it was December of 2005. Well, at 9:30 at night, I was already in bed and this coach called me and I picked it up and he asked me, he said, listen, I'm going to announce tomorrow that I'm going to be the general manager of the Bills. And I was like, wow, this is awesome. And then in my mind, I'm thinking, why are you calling me, you know, about that? And he said, I just see if you have interest of coaching at the NFL level. He saw me coach my first year at Aurora Christian High School. He came and did the first pregame speech at the first playoff game. And it was really kind of cool for the kids in this dilapidated, just run down school. And there's Marv giving the speech, you know, where would you rather be than right here, right now type stuff. And when he asked me, I knew right away that I told him literally within 5 seconds, I said, coach, it's just not my calling. You know, God wanted me to coach for free at this dilapidated school that had 17 kids in the program at that time.
Oh my goodness.
And I chose and turned that down and stayed, but why? And as I look back on this, I mean, 18 years later, it absolutely was the right decision. I really believe that when you're in the will of God and you're exactly where God wants you to be, I always use the scripture, Philippians 4:13, which in the sports world, I think is a verse taken out of context a lot. You know, they pray that prayer. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Boom. I'm going to go have a great game. Okay. Well, okay. It might not be that way. I'm not saying it can't be, but most likely it might not be. And the whole message there is what Paul was talking about in Philippians 4:11 and 12. Especially 12, where he says, I've learned what the success in life is, really. I've known what I've had when I've had it all, and I've known what it was like to have nothing and everything in between. And the one word that always comes to me of a true meaning of success in this world is contentment.
Amen.
Are you content with where God has you? I am content at Aurora Christian High School for 14 years, and now finishing up my fifth year here at Aurora University. I couldn't have picked a better place to be right now because it's right where God wants me.
Amen. That's so good. And I think oftentimes we confuse contentment with complacency.
Yeah.
And they're different things. And so I don't know if you've got any thoughts on that, but when I hear contentment, man, it's one of those wonderful things that when we actually experience it, it just gives you that rest in Christ and ultimately in kind of where he's got you in the moment, like you said.
Yeah, you really have to find those quiet times, you know. I mean, Psalms 46:10 is really just a very short verse. It just be still and know that I'm God. And in that, the meaning for me throughout my life was just get quiet. That quiet for me is 3 a.m. to 5 a.m. You know, when the Holy Spirit wakes me up, man, it's not like I'm just turning over, hitting the snooze button. It's like I get up. And I know God's got something to tell me. So I just literally go right into prayer first. And then if I get to, you know, opening up the word or just worshiping or whatever that is, I just know those are the times that God is really speaking to me. And you have to shut out the world. And what's the world? People, your phone, laptop, whatever. You just got to get alone in a quiet place because you can't really hear the Spirit of the Lord speaking when you got the world in your head. So for me, that's where I find those contentment moments. And it's allowed me to listen to where God wants me to be in my marriage, in my relationship at work, in my relationship with my kids. I just want to be, I try hard. I fail miserably like everybody else, but I try hard to be in that contentment zone. And that's right where God wants me. That's the difference between contentment and being complacent, to be honest with you.
That's cool. That's good. Yeah. I love it. Well, let's continue down the path of kind of some of your thoughts on spiritual topics. And it's awesome because you put together a new devotional book and it's called Never Give Up, and it came out a couple of weeks ago and people can definitely check out donbeebe.com and you feature 12 impactful stories from your NFL journey. They're intertwined with scripture. And so I want to talk about a couple of those stories, but before we do, what was the motivation in putting this book together, and what is your hope for readers that end up reading it?
Yeah, great question. You know, again, this was a spiritual moment for me, and it just happened to be, late afternoon driving to the gas station. a BP gas station. I'm on the phone with my daughter, my youngest, Caitlin, who works for this marketing firm down in Nashville called Kaifect. And Kaifect is owned by a player that I used to coach at Aurora Christian High School, believe it or not, way back in 2009, I believe it, somewhere around there. 2007, Matt was on the team. And he reached out along with Caitlin and said, they want to do a receiver book, a wide receiver book. And I had been collecting stuff on this for a long, long time. And I said, yeah, let's do it. So I got halfway through it, and I'm literally on the phone with her, talking with her. And I'm not kidding you. It was like the Spirit of God just came. And I just started having these thoughts in my mind of, and I told Caitlin, I said, listen, Caitlin, this is going to sound weird. I was really getting out of my car to pump gas. And I said, we're going to put the wide receiver book on hold. And she says, oh, Dad, we're like halfway through the project. I get it. I know, honey. It'll be okay. I said, God really wants me to do something right now. And it just kind of laid on me. And I said, we're going to do a devotional. And she goes, well, a lot of people have devotion. I said, I know. I said, this is not your normal devotional. Even for athletes, there's devotionals out there for athletes, right? I said, but I can't remember that one former professional athlete wrote down a devotional based on their life experience that God allowed them to go through. And keep in mind there, I didn't say God did it to me, because that's what Satan's job is. God just allows it because he knows Romans 8:28. He knows the outcome, you know, for those that love him. So I said, well, I'm going to write a devotional for athletes, but in people in general, because it really affects anybody that goes through struggles in life, and nobody's immune to it. Everybody's going to go through struggles. And how did I get through it spiritually? And by using the Word of God and Scripture. I said, that's what we're going to do. Oh, Dad, I love this. You know, so I literally went home and I wrote the thing in two weeks. Those are all my words. It was edited because I can't write. But, I put these words down on paper, and then it became Never Give Up devotional. And it's literally, I was very vulnerable. I was very open to the things that have happened to me as an athlete. Some of them very devastating. And how did I handle those things? I have this saying, it's not that hard, but it's not easy. It's not that hard to be a great athlete, but it's not going to be easy. It's not that hard to be a really great Christian person, but it's not going to be easy. You know, and all these things that God allowed in my life, they were not that hard to get through, but they weren't easy. And as long as you, and the easy part is let God fight those battles. Romans 12, 14 through 21 is some of my favorite scripture. You know, God says in there, vengeance is mine. So don't try to pay back somebody or get back at somebody or lash out or be angry. It gets you nowhere in life. And so go ahead, ask me about one of those devotionals and I'll share a little bit about them.
That's right. So we've had you on the show before, and we talked about your time with the Bills and man, four Super Bowls, and then you win a Super Bowl with Green Bay, but also a part of your NFL journey included my hometown team, my favorite team, the Carolina Panthers. But that experience maybe not quite as great or memorable, but ultimately how God used that in your life. And so you share that in the devotional. Would love for you to kind of give us some context to that story here on the show today.
Sure. And the other thing about the devotionals, they're very short, but they're very impactful. I mean, I get right to the meat in these things, and they'll take you 3 to 5 minutes to read them, you know. So this one was a very interesting situation, because what I thought was going to be an incredible opportunity blew up in my face, being the worst year I've ever had in football. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Charlotte. Matter of fact, we almost retired in Charlotte. Some of our best friends are still in Charlotte. We love those people. But the football team and what I went through as a player was awful experience. After going 6 years with Buffalo, and being a part of four Super Bowl teams and experiencing the great success that we have, and then Bill Polian taking the general manager job down there. Pete Metzler is already signed with the Carolina Panthers, and Frank Reich, my roommate for 5 years in Buffalo, was already signed there as well. And I was like, man, I got to go there. I mean, I told my agent, let's get this worked out to go to the Panthers. So it did. And I want to say it was April or May, we figured out a contract to go to the Panthers. And I'm telling you, I was told at that time that I was going to be, you know, the leader you know, the guy, I was the oldest guy on the receiver room with the most experience in years, along with Mark Carrier. And so it was going to be me and Mark, really. And I was excited about that. And Frank as the quarterback. Mm. That really excited me. You know, because we always had a rapport between the two of us anyway, as teammates. So I get down there and I break my rib on the third day of camp. And it really set me back. I had to miss a couple of weeks of practice. And when I got back, it was completely different. I'd never been MF'd more times in practice. I never felt like I didn't contribute, or I never felt like I couldn't perform. And here it was my seventh year in the league, and I felt like a rookie all over again. And it was really kind of the what was being said and all that stuff. And instead of going into who was saying it, what was saying it, you know, you can read it in the devotional, I suppose, but I don't name names. But it was an awful experience. And so I started to have self-pity, like most people would. I started feeling sorry for myself. And, you know, I kind of have those feelings of not fitting in. And so it's always good to center yourself around godly people, be it a part of your church or whoever your small circles are. Well, that small circle for me at that time was Frank Reich. And Frank and I were roommates at Carolina. He was going through similar situation, but I'll let him speak on his own deal, you know, because he was going to be the quarterback, and then they drafted Kerry Collins. And so that was rough.
Yeah.
You know, we all have egos, but we try to put them aside. But we all have those. So when we started sharing, we started praying for each other. We started reading the word, and we started really helping each other navigate themselves through this tough time. And we both made a pact with each other and with our faith that we were going to not allow Satan to win this battle. We were going to go to practice every day and enjoy it, because I was really depressed and didn't want to go to practice. And I was really going to hang up. I was going to hang up my cleats and I was done. That was the thoughts that were going through my mind. And so started going to practice. And we were balling, man. I'm telling you, I was having great practices, as was Frank. And we really started having a lot of fun together. But here's a couple of things that I want people to learn. Did my circumstance change? No. No, it did not. I was still made fun of, in a sense, or like I didn't fit in and you can't do this and blah, blah, blah. Because as a coach, I can tell you right now, I can put on a film on a TV. I can make you look like a Pro Bowl or a cesspool. Like, you can't play at all, right? I mean, you're just an awful player. I can do that to anybody. And I'll just point out the good things and all the bad things, right? Well, that's what was happening to both Frank and I. And through the process, my circumstances didn't change, but I did. And the only way I could do that was through my faith in Christ. I could have never done it on my own. Our sinful nature doesn't allow us to. Okay. So I started praying through it. And sure enough, I got a call in February after the season was over by Dom Capers, who I highly respect and is a true man of character. And I loved him as a head coach. He said, "We're going to release you." Well, that was the first time I ever heard those words in all my career that I was cut from a team. So that kind of hurt a little bit. But hey, you get over it. But I wasn't done. And I knew God had a real calling on my life. And so where did God take me? God took me to the Green Bay Packers. And I go to the Green Bay Packers. Statistically, I had the best year, most catches, most touchdowns. We go to the Super Bowl. We win the Super Bowl. I had some of the greatest games in my career during that year. You know, the Monday night 49er game, you know, a return against the Chicago Bears at Soldier Field, the field that I grew up loving as a Bear fan, unfortunately a Bear fan, but that's okay. That's another story. And here's the final point I want people to really understand. That if you don't allow God to fight these battles and allow him to get you through this, I probably would have missed out in Green Bay. I would have retired. I would have had the self-pity, and things would have probably started to unravel. Who knows what would have happened from there? But because I chose God to lead it, God to fight the battles, I just allowed him to open and close the doors. Well, he did. He opened the door to Green Bay. And who did we beat in the NFC Championship to go to the Super Bowl that year? Yeah, that's right. The Carolina Panthers. God also has a sense of humor, right?
Hey, don't rub it in. Yeah. Don't rub it in. No, that's good.
No, I'm not. But that was my Carolina experience. And again, don't get me wrong. I love Charlotte. It was, you know, God just allows those things to happen, to grow in our faith, because what it taught me, as much as anything, and this was the big thing that Frank and I would talk about, and Frank really kind of resonated this with me, is really, truly, what is your identity? Is your identity really as a football player? How shallow is that? Is your, and that's one of the very first things I ask every recruit that comes in my office. I said, give me the top three things in your life that are most important. And I want them in order, one to three. And if they say football, I'll look at them in front of their parents and I say, I just want you to know that's pretty shallow. I mean, football is your identity, and what a shame. But you know, and then if they say their faith in Christ or God or whatever it is, then I expand on that as well, where they stand in that. So with that being said, it's one of those stories that helps people get through the tough times in life and put Christ first.
Amen. Absolutely. And I think this topic of self-pity is a really important one. And so I appreciate you sharing on it, but to lump in every thought of self-pity and poor me, and we're all guilty of that. We look at our circumstances, like, oh, I can't believe this is happening. But the encouragement to say, look to Christ, rely on his strength to get you through this and what he's going to do in you and through you. We've got to be willing to embrace that. So I love that. I love that message, Don. And I think it's key. And then, to hear the other side of it, you got to experience the Super Bowl with the Packers. So too often we wallow in what we think things should be or how we want them to be. And, oh, come on, God, what are you doing? Man, he's working. He's still good. He's still faithful through it all. And he really is.
And I always kind of use this story. You know, God knows your heart. God really knows your heart. And that is what he's most concerned about. And, you know, and I always use King David as a great example of that. I mean, here, King David is called the man after God's own heart, but yet he was an adulterous, premeditated murderer. And then you read Psalms 51 and then you kind of figure out, he really did love the Lord and had a very repentive heart. And that's why he was considered, a man after God's own heart. So I think if we can just get ourselves to put our selfish ambition aside, our pride, our anger, and just let God to work in your life. And this is a daily process. This is not a switch you can just turn on and off. This is something where you got to spend time in the word and in prayer to develop these characteristics and center yourself around godly people, within your church or your community, or even your workforce. allow them to, and this is why I wrote this book, to be honest with you. I not only want to be vulnerable with my closest family members and friends, I want to be vulnerable with everybody. I'll be honest with you, I'm an open book. Because I think people can learn from that. And when they hear those stories, they're like, oh, wow. Yeah, that's me. That's me. And so, hopefully they get on their knees and ask for forgiveness and let God get them through it.
I love it. I love it. And yeah, that last time we had you on the show, or a couple times ago, you talked about how even Frank Reich encouraged you to make sure you do tell your story. And so that was years ago. And now you continue to do that. And we'll talk about it being told through a movie in just a little bit. But I wanted to continue talking about some of these topics within the devotional and again, encourage people to check it out. It's called Never Give Up. And one of the topics is how you've learned to tap into the divine guidance needed to make better decisions. And so I'm big on this and just, trusting God and his path and the wisdom needed to make good decisions. So, but I like that phrasing, tap into the divine guidance. So I would love for you to kind of give us a little context to that one as well.
Sure. And really the only way you can tap into the divine guidance is you got to start your morning early. I have this quote, excuse my deal, but I have this quote in my office. It's by E.M. Bounds. And I try to live as much as I can on a daily basis to this. And I'm going to read it to you because it's a little long. And he said, the men and women who have done the most for God in this world have been early on their knees. He who fritters away the early morning in its opportunity and freshness in other pursuits than seeking God will make poor headway seeking him the rest of the day. If God is not first in our thoughts and efforts in the morning, he will be in last place the remainder of that day. That is just so true. And I've experienced this in my own life, that if I get up and I get going, well, guess what? My day really starts at like 7-8 o'clock over here at the office, and people are coming in and out. So if I don't get here at, 4 in the morning, it's probably not going to happen, as far as my time. Now that varies in the off season, because the offseason is a little bit different. So I get over here a little bit early before everybody else wakes me up, right? So I have to do that, because if I don't get to that early, chances are I'm probably not going to get to it. And so to experience the divine freshness of the Lord and the Spirit of the Lord and allow him to work in you to make right decisions on a daily basis, I can't think of a better coach. I say this all the time to football players. If you don't know the playbook, how are you ever going to play? You don't know the X's and O's to it. You're never going to play here. Okay. But how do people in life navigate through life not knowing the playbook, which is the Word of God? And Pew Research has said that less than 10% of church-going people read the Word. That's a scary number, you know. So there's a lot of people within our churches that don't even know the playbook. That's why we have so many screwed up situations going on in our culture today, right there. We don't know the Word and the playbook to life. And when you know it and you live by it, you're going to, A, make a lot better decisions, and like the Carolina situation, be blessed for those. You know, going to Green Bay and experiencing the experiences that I got to as a player and with my wife and kids. So, yeah, that's exactly what all that means to me.
That's right. And, yeah, just to add even what God revealed to me this morning in Exodus and Moses, along the word that jumped out was your way. And it was a prayer for your way. And I've been reading through Psalms too lately, and it's just, do we want to know God's way? Do we really believe that his way is best and that we're going to follow it? And so to your point, unless we're getting into his word to know it, we're floundering and we're going our own way. So it's either your way or my way. And that's the day. Those are the choices we have all day long. So I love the divine guidance. That's it. So
yeah.
Very, very cool. So actually, along those lines, I was going to ask you about this too. You mentioned it earlier about the silence, but you also write about slowing down and the importance of slowing down. And you in the sports world, I'm in the media world, sports world, it's go, go, go. It's on to the next thing. But I've experienced in my own life, I got to slow down. So what is your big takeaway with the concept of slowing down?
Well, again, it's a choice. It's a daily choice. You know, during the season, football season, it's a grind. Oh boy, and I love the grind. And you got to love the grind. But in any business, I mean, it can be grind. And because there's a dichotomy of what Paul talks about is run the race to win. And so you're going 100 miles an hour, but your motive has got to be to glorify Christ, not to glorify self. You know, so if your motivation is to glorify Christ, yeah, that's why you run the race. But at the same time, you can't neglect what's most important. What is most important? Your relationship with Jesus Christ, number one, hands down. Your relationship with your wife or your husband, number two. And your relationship with your kids, number three. If you're not getting that in order, okay, and prioritized, chances are it's going to fall apart at some point in time. You know, so that I've tried to always live by faith, family, and then friends in football. But it, you know, and I don't, and I, you know, have I screwed that up? Sure. I've screwed it up. But I try hard, and God knows, again, coming back to this is where grace comes in. It comes in by knowing that when you do screw up, just repent and ask for forgiveness and move on. Cause God is, you got to.
Amen. Absolutely. No, that's great. So the importance of slowing down. Heard from one of the fastest men to ever play in the NFL. How about that? So that's a good a good perspective. All right. So I'm excited to hear that you've agreed to terms on making a movie about your life story. And so Salty Earth Pictures is the one that you came together with. And so you shared some of your story with us the first time we had you on, and it's a remarkable story of how you ended up in the NFL and then ultimately what you experienced in the NFL. But why now? How did it come together to say, hey, this is a movie. Let's do this.
Yeah. You know, that's a long process, Bryce. It's been even when I was drafted, to know the story from where I came from and then being the team's first pick in the draft was just, if that wasn't God, I have no idea what it was then, because it had to be God. And So then I had people close to me, friends and family, said, oh, man, that's a movie, man. You should write a book or make a movie. And I always thought, that's just not me. That's just not me. I have no desire to do that. And then we go to 4 Super Bowls in a row. And then it really hit home when we won the Super Bowl in Green Bay. I mean, prominent people like the governor of Wisconsin. I mean, people like that were saying, dude, that is a movie, right? After I spoke at the governor's breakfast and he came up to me afterwards. And so then we wrote a book, the first book that came out. And then we redid the book some years later, and it's called Six Rings from Nowhere, because you have six rings, championship rings, and from nowhere. And then that process got caught on by a group, a company that wanted to do the movie. And I agreed to a 3-year contract, and they had 3 years to raise the funds and all that stuff. This was years ago. I mean, I want to say good night. 20 years ago now, maybe 15 for sure.
Wow.
And it never came to fruition. And then it developed into another group down in Tennessee. And then that never came to fruition. And during this whole process with the first group, I met Salty Earth people, Stephen and Beth Sambo, at a speaking engagement for Thrive It up in Milwaukee. They were there. They heard me talk, and they came up to me right after and said, oh, we would love to do this movie. And we're producers of Salty Earth. And I was like, I'm already in agreement. So it just kind of went away after that conversation. But they always kept in contact with me. And I thought that was kind of odd. But Stephen always did. He would text me or email me, hey, how you doing? And here we are. And I really believe that this is going to come to fruition this time. It is going to get done. They're going to get funded. They've done several movies already. And where that goes, hey, only God knows that. I just know when I first went into this, Bryce, at the first, and this was one of the higher ups, I won't mention the name, at Sony. And that was with the first group. And they were talking about maybe taking it over. And I told them in that interview, I said, listen, I don't want to do this if it's going to spiritualize or Hollywoodize or whatever you want to call it, okay, and change what originally happened, because that's done too many times. I've met other people that have done movies on life, and I know them without mentioning names, and it wasn't what they wanted. I said, if this has everything to make you money, make me money, I have no problem with that. But if that's our motive, I'm not in. I'm out. I don't care about it. I said, but this has everything to do with glorifying Christ and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm all ears and I'm all in. However, I want the final say when it comes to the context of this movie, because that has to be done. If I don't have that final say, and I'm not saying that from an egotistical, because I'm not a cinematographer, I'm not a producer, I'm not that. Okay. And I don't even want to step in that area, but the message has to be clear of the gospel of Christ. If that is the case, I said, let's do this. Well, that was my last conversation with Sony. Okay. So we've now morphed into a person, I think, that really has a heart for the kingdom, and Stephen and Beth. And this is going to get done. I really feel it's going to get done.
Oh, that's great. So no time frame yet.
No.
It's still early. Just agreement and get the ball rolling. So, okay.
Say a prayer, Bryce, because we got some big meetings coming up in the month of May now, in June and July, with people that are going to be the people that probably fund this.
Oh, that's great. Wow. Yeah. How exciting. Well, we'll be keeping an eye out for it, and we'll definitely promote it when it comes out. And so we're excited about that, and excited about your new devotional book as well. Never Give Up, and encourage everybody to check out donbeebe.com. And Don, man, so great having you on, and just appreciate your heart for the Lord and your authenticity and willing to share what God continues to do in your life. And thanks for being such an encouragement to me and our listeners today.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate shows like this too. And in beginning the whole show with prayers is pretty cool. You don't see that every day. So Bryce, keep doing what you're doing for the kingdom as well.
Our thanks to Don Beebe for joining us here on the podcast. And this was our third time. The first two times we had him on, it was audio only, but you can listen to those podcasts. I encourage you to do so. They were great. And so he came on, talked about his story one time. And then the other time, it was a whole conversation really about the Super Bowl, losing Super Bowls and winning Super Bowls. So fascinating conversations. So if you enjoyed the one today, I think you'll enjoy those other two if you missed them the first time around. So just search wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find those podcasts there. But also encourage you to check out his book and his website, donbeebe.com. We want to thank our new sponsor, Upward Sports. Check out upward.org/unpack. We're excited to have them on board with us and appreciate their support. Well, thanks to you for listening. I'm Bryce. I'm a sports fan who follows Jesus. I believe in the good news that he died on the cross for my sin. He was resurrected, and through faith, I've been saved by his grace. I hope that is true for you as well, and I hope you'll join me as we live life as sports fans and follow Jesus together. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll talk to you next time right here on the Unpacking It podcast.